Peter Godfrey.
Phone 8223 0000.
Interactive Radio. 1395 Adelaide's 5AA.
It is 5:15 now. Let's head across the ditch to New Zealand. Selwyn Manning from scoop.co.nz. G'day, Selwyn.
Yeah, g'day, Peter.
I'm looking at a photo right now of this this cargo ship that's off your coast, and gee, it's frightening just to see the lean on the list on it, and these containers that are also leaning over. Labelled as your worst environmental disaster.
Yeah, that's right. Now, this environmental damage that's threatening all the coast, the Bay of Plenty coast on the east offside of the North Island of New Zealand. It certainly is being labelled at the moment already as New Zealand's worst maritime environmental disaster. Being no loss of life, which is obviously a bonus, but the damage to the ecology all around that area is significant already, and it's expected to get worse by the day, Peter.
And is that labelled as the worst environmental disaster more about the potential because of the problems that are starting to appear with this ship, or what's already happened?
Already happened. There's, like, for example, the ship is breaking up. This morning, reports are that it's worse than it was late last night. As darkness descended on New Zealand last night, more oil, more of this thick tarry type of oil that is used to propel ships. When it's cold, it goes almost like tar, sticky and hard, and in big blobs. Now, more of that washed up on the Bay of Plenty coastline, particularly around Papamoa, which is a beautiful white sandy beach where many seabirds and wader birds and alike try to survive, including the endangered dotterel. So all of this type of thing is obviously a major concern. There is attempts to try and salvage as much from the actual ship as possible, meaning securing when the containers are gone into the water, to try and secure those instead of them heading out into the Pacific. To try and get as much oil off the ship as is possible. Now, the salvage teams are working on that, but as you can see from the photographs, it's almost an impossible task until nature takes its course, in a sense, and actually breaks that boat in half. The plan then, Peter, is, as I understand it, the salvage teams will have 3 tugboats ready to basically be hitched up to the stern of the boat where most of the oil is contained, and to try and drag that off the reef but into shallower waters. If it goes into deep water, apparently it's much more difficult to deal with the environmental impact from the oil that remains inside the hull.
The big challenge is conditions at the moment. The swell's been fairly substantial, hasn't it? Is that likely to subside, the conditions?
Conditions look like they're going to remain like this. Once that part of the coastline starts to get heavy swells, those swells are coming in from the Pacific. They do not go away quickly. They continue to roll in, probably very similar to the coastline around where you people are. The weather from on top of the rain and things like that, that's immaterial in a sense, but the swell and the heavy seas is what's causing difficulties. There is criticism both pointed at the political move that was very slow last week, and also criticism toward whether or not the salvage teams or those responsible did something early enough to try and get the oil off the ship. That is going on at the same time. Election campaign here, all the candidates were down there, but there was significant information that came out as a consequence of it. Apparently, there was around a required amount of about 2 days. 2 days was required to get the oil off the ship. There was a 5-day window of good weather last week, and there was a very slow methodical approach to actually doing that. And of course, we're faced with this problem now. So there is obviously there's going to be a huge amount of inquiry that will go as a consequence of that. But the getting back to the main issues of concern to the people here at the moment, it is primarily the damage to the pristine coastline. We've had nothing of this magnitude before. Way back in, I think it was 1973, there was an oil spill in Whangarei Harbour north of Auckland, where an Onassis oil ship, an oil container, leaked crude oil into Marsden Point Oil Refinery into the harbour area there. Now, that took years for them to, for authorities to get that slick off the rocks, detergents and all sorts of other stuff. It just didn't get rid of it. What we're seeing in this instance here that has occurred this week is wader birds, for example. I mentioned the dotterel earlier on. There's major concern there. They are endangered. But there's petrels dead on the beach. Some are being saved, but hundreds have perished. Albatross, you know, very, very special and very unique and rare species of bird life. We're expecting, too, that the oil slick that's already out of the ship is expected to start to move eastward today and tomorrow to engulf Motiti Island, which is nearby the reef where the ship is struck. And that island is, for example, the home to a large fur seal colony.
Okay.
So the impact goes on and on and on with each day, Peter.
Yeah. What of the containers, 70-odd containers that have gone overboard, contents of those, can they? Could there be environmental issues there?
Yes, it's expected that there is some containers holding toxic materials. Now, the detail of what they are exactly is yet to be confirmed, but we understand that that's an extra worry. There's also other things, like there's a lot of timber on the ship, and there's also butter, and apparently salted butter, what was washing up on the beach in great big blocks yesterday. But everything that you can imagine, even one man's prized 1972 Holden Turana.
Really? That'd be a find.
It's in pristine condition, apparently, was being containered and transported, and that's on board one of the containers.
Okay,
if it's in the sea or we're on board, who knows?
Okay.
But the last count, there were 72 containers that had gone into the sea. As you can see from the photographs, they're on a terrible lean. It's dangerous for the salvage teams on board, but at the same time, there are efforts to try and actually rope up the containers that are bobbing around. And I think in your introduction to the people, you were saying, Peter, how those containers often can sit just below the surface. And have always been a hazard to yachts and vessels of all sorts throughout the Tasman and the wider Pacific. And this is obviously going to be a concern for a long time. There is a navigation warning that has gone out to all vessels of all sizes relating to that.
Gee, doesn't get better at any time soon, will it? The captain of the ship's faced court too?
Yes, he has. The captain is yet to be charged. They're expecting the captain to be charged soon. The master of the ship has been charged, faced court. He's got name suppression. And a Filipino national were in charge of the ship. And also the second in charge, who was actually steering the ship, putting it quite simply, he is expected to be charged in court. He's been charged and is expected to face court today.
All right. On to other news. Of course, rugby. Let's get excited by the rugby.
Yes.
Semi-finals of the Rugby World Cup this weekend. Gee, what a couple of crackers it's going to be. The All Blacks and the Wallabies first up.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. Now, that can be anybody's game, as we know. You know, the Wallabies, they certainly came back to push Springboks, South Africa, out of this World Cup. And the Springboks were very much expected to be one of those that would get through to the finals. But, you know, if it wasn't, I guess the favourites have been the All Blacks. And Springboks. Now, the Wallabies have nailed the Springboks, really, in a crawling game. Now it's back to the old foes, these Trans-Tasman foes, to battle it out in the semi-final on Sunday night, 9 o'clock New Zealand time. So Peel about 2.5 hours back from
that.
That's when it will be on.
6.30 or so. Yeah. 6.30 for us, yep.
And the Wales and France teams, France, it had lost to Tonga. You know, it had lost two games in the pool games, but managed to get through on extra points. And so France was there, beats England last week. What a fantastic game that was. And England looking pretty miserable. It's a long way home when you haven't got a cup in your hand, for sure. But to balance it out, you know, their old rivals, France, the unpredictable team, the one that can play so badly but can play a blinder if it wants to, too. So there you go. France is through into the semi-finals, up against Wales. And Wales, the solid, tight team that is minimising its mistakes, able to secure the ball with the forward pack. Real brilliant kind of team to watch. And Wales, I guess, you know, there's that game is as special as the New Zealand and the Wallaby game there. You know, this game between Wales and France will certainly be, you know, a hard one to pick, just like our one is going to be on Sunday, Peter.
Mm. So when's the France-Wales game?
That's on Saturday.
Saturday, okay.
That will be the one, yes, Saturday. Once again, 9 p.m. New Zealand time, so we take that back. It's around 6:30 South Australia time.
6:30 our time.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
And that leads to the finals.
Yeah.
They're on the following Sunday, so a week away at 9 p.m. again. New
All right,
time.
And so Southern Hemisphere v Northern Hemisphere.
Absolutely, Peter.
So that's
very cool in a sense, isn't it? In some ways, you can see that the pool and the quarterfinals and semis were structured in a way that it would kind of facilitate that kind of outcome. It certainly is one that'll be a spectacle for sure.
Mm. I did see it written somewhere that actually the All Blacks and Wallabies game is what did I say? It would like to be the World Cup final a week early almost. something along those lines. I forget how it's exactly worded, but that could be the cracker of the whole competition.
I remember saying some weeks ago when this thing kicked off, you know, that it would be great if there was either, you know, as a Kiwi, you know, if the All Blacks went in that final, my pick would always be, you know, that Australian mates would be in there, keeping that close trans-Tasman type of style of rugby there. It would be a good final for sure. Mm. It's been very well supported. I went down to Wellington last week from Auckland on aircraft, and I think I was the only Kiwi on board. The rest were Irish, Welsh, and certainly South African contingent was just huge in numbers. So there's been great atmosphere around it for sure.
Yeah, tickets for the finals selling getting snapped up pretty quick.
Gee, I don't know how to answer that. I think there's a few scalps out there.
Well, they come out, don't they?
Someone, I think, put it this way, you know, if someone wanted to come over, especially for a Wallaby final or something like that, I'm sure they'd be able to find someone selling a ticket.
Fair enough. No worries. All right. Yeah. Well, it's going to be a big weekend, an interesting weekend. So, many thanks for that update.
Okay.
Let's hope this cargo ship thing gets resolved fairly quickly and not too much damage happens, but I guess we fear the worst, don't we?
Yeah, that's well put.
Until next week, Selwyn, thank you so much.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Selwyn Manning, he's co-editor of scoop.co.nz, online news publication in New Zealand. 5:28, and Stone with news, sport and weather next.